Good morning. Where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Amen.
This is a story of two women. One was young, with her life ahead of her, full of hopes and dreams, although it did all seem a bit more complicated since the visit of the angel. The other was older, and for her, hopes and dreams had died over the years as no children had been born. It must have been hard for Elizabeth. It can be a source of considerable grief for women today when they are childless for whatever reason. But in Elizabeth's culture, a woman's primary purpose in life was to bear children. So as an elderly, infertile wife, she had endured a lifetime of being treated as a failure. Earlier in Luke's Gospel, we read her response to her miraculous pregnancy. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "He has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." At long last, in her old age, she was an honorable married woman, pregnant with her husband's son. When she heard Mary's greeting, two things happened. The baby in her womb leaped for joy, she tells us, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit revealed to both Elizabeth and her unborn baby the identity of Mary's baby. And Elizabeth greeted Mary as the mother of my Lord and exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." Mary would have been considered really shameful for having a child out of wedlock. I expect Elizabeth's neighbors had plenty to say about her opening her home to a young relative in Mary's condition. But instead of shaming Mary, Elizabeth welcomed, blessed, and celebrated her, treating her as more honorable than herself. And Elizabeth even acknowledged what a privilege it was for her that Mary would go to see her. "Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" she said. It's been called a question of awe-filled incredulity. Why me? How wonderful and amazing that I would get to meet the Savior of the world. Should be a picture there, and that isn't it, right? Elizabeth is amazed that the blessing of God continues to be showered upon her. Becoming pregnant with John was already the best blessing she thought she could receive. And now she's realizing that there are even greater things to come from God's hand for her and for the whole world. Right. I seem to have lost some pictures somewhere along the line. Not to worry. Can you imagine all the stuff the two women had to talk about? Quite apart from how their pregnancies were going and arrangements for the coming babies, they had the visits from the angel Gabriel to discuss. What an encouragement they must have been to one another. I wonder whether it was the grace and kindness of God to choose relatives of Mary's to be the parents of John the Baptist. That seems to me to be the kind of thing that God does. John the Baptist's parents could have been anybody, really. But relatives of Mary's meant she had somewhere to go for a while, and I imagine she would have been very glad to get away from Nazareth and all the probably quite nasty gossip that would have been happening about her. And it meant that she had someone who understood what was going on and who believed in what God was doing. Of course, they both believed what the angel had told them, but the experience of the other would have been such a confirmation and encouragement. If Mary had come to Elizabeth with any doubts or fears about what she'd just said yes to, seeing a pregnant Elizabeth and hearing the story of what the angel had said to Zechariah must have reassured her greatly. And it's like that for us, isn't it? Sometimes we think we might have heard from God, and then someone else says that they maybe think something the same. And that gives us the confirmation and encouragement that we need. It's one of the reasons why we need one another and why sharing in a church family like this is so important. Two ordinary women together, sharing their joy at what God had done and was doing in their lives, sharing their wonder that God was doing a new thing in the world, that the ancient promises were about to be fulfilled, and their wonder that God had chosen them to play a part in his great plan. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished, said Elizabeth. One of the commentators says, who is Elizabeth referring to? Is she still reflecting about herself? Or is she thinking of Mary, since she's just referenced how hearing Mary speak caused baby John to leap with joy in her own womb? But it seems to me, he says, that even if she is speaking about Mary, she is speaking out of her own personal experience of being blessed, of believing that the impossible is possible with God, choosing to live by faith despite the circumstances, proving that a miracle is just that, the work of God. Elizabeth, an older woman, but God poured out unexpected blessings in her life. Never would she have thought that at this stage in her life she would have a son. Never would she have thought that she would have met and been with the mother of the long-awaited Messiah. What impossible and unexpected blessings. Elizabeth knew that God had greatly favored her. How has God favored us? What blessings has he poured out into our lives? The letter to the Ephesians tells us that he has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That sounds like really quite a lot of blessings. But God doesn't give up on us. He doesn't stop speaking to us and blessing us just because we're getting older. What unexpected and impossible blessings might there still be to come from the God who delights to do the unexpected and the impossible? Surely he has highly favored us. But what might yet be to come? We praise him for all that is past, and we trust him for all that lies ahead, for all that he still will do in our lives, out of his love and grace. Let's pause. Once Mary and Elizabeth stayed together, expecting their babies, anticipating the coming of the Prince of Peace, the long-awaited Messiah, the Redeemer of the world, waiting, expectant, believing the God of the impossible, praising him that he had blessed them and shown them his favor. Mary's song, the Magnificat, has been sung for 2,000 years. It's been described as one of the most important hymns in the history of the church. It's been described as an expression of enthusiastic, excited, and exuberant praise of God. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, she sang. As a Jewish girl who'd been taught the Old Testament scriptures, her song is full of Old Testament references and expressions. Why did Mary praise God? Firstly, because he had blessed her. Her song began with God's actions in her own life, because in choosing her to be the mother of the Messiah, the Mighty One had indeed done great things for her. Elizabeth had just welcomed and honored her, saying, "Blessed is she who believed." And now Mary recognized with awe that it wouldn't just be Elizabeth, but that all generations would call her blessed. But notice the two ways that she described herself. He has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. She was astonished that God would choose her, an ordinary girl from an insignificant Galilean village that was scorned by other Israelites. She praised God that he had noticed her. And she described herself as the Lord's servant, just as she'd said to the angel Gabriel. I don't think Mary had much idea of all that being the mother of the Messiah was going to mean for her. But she didn't ask God for the terms and conditions of employment before she said yes. A humble servant. That is what God asks of us too. And in that role, in being that person, he will bless us. She praised God because he is holy and merciful. God's holiness is probably his most dominant attribute. We know that he's love and mercy and grace and purity and justice and so many more things. But it's his holiness that is praised by the hosts of heaven. In the book of the prophet Isaiah, we read that he saw the Lord sitting on a throne in the temple, and the angelic beings known as the seraphim were calling to one another and saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And in the book of Revelation, John said that the four living creatures worshipping God in heaven never ceased to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." But God's holiness goes hand in hand with his mercy. Mercy has been described as both forbearance from inflicting punishment on someone who breaks the law and the compassion which helps the weak, the sick, and the poor. How could we, sinners as we are, stand before a holy God if it were not for his mercy? And as Mary praised God for his holiness and mercy, mercy not only to her, but to all who fear him from generation to generation, how much did she understand that this mercy was because of what her baby son was going to do, because he would go to a cross and die in our place so that we could be accepted by a holy God. Holiness and mercy. And Mary praised God because he is sovereign and powerful. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. The proud are those who think that they are the most important, those who think that they know better than God, those who think that there is no God. The rulers are those who rule unjustly, who oppress their people. And in the ancient world, not unlike today, it was accepted that the rich would be well cared for and poor people would be hungry. But here is a complete reversal of human values. It is not the proud or the mighty or the rich who will have the last word. When Mary's baby boy comes back as the magnificent conqueror, they will be judged by the judge of all the earth. And as we look out on a world of darkness, we praise God that he is sovereign and powerful, and that one day he will put all things right. And Mary praised God because he is faithful. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Way back in the book of Genesis, God called Abraham, and he was unfailingly faithful to him and his descendants. Everything God promised him came to pass. God was faithful to Mary and to Elizabeth, and he is every bit as faithful to us. In him we put our whole trust. Delia Smith, in her old book, A Feast for Advent, says of Mary's song, "When I know the greatness of God in the deepest center of my being, then my spirit will rejoice. Then I will understand his absolute holiness, his loving forgiveness, his faithfulness to his promises in every generation, right up to now. Then he will work miracles in my life. Holy is his name. Amen.